we should be live on Twitter right now. And
and I am the guinea pig.
You are the guinea pig. John Farmer is the guinea pig. We'll get the show started here in just a second. So I don't think anybody is specifically listening. I'm not really sure 100%.
Let's how give it time. This is,
you know, give it time. Give it, you know, if it's going to work, or maybe nobody will join us tonight, John. I don't know. Maybe it'll just be you and me joining us. But let's get, do you have any questions before we start? I'll get the podcast started.
Let's see, questions.
Before we actually start the podcast. I hope you have questions for me. You always have questions.
Oh, you know, we'll definitely delve into something, I'm sure.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Let's get rolling.
All right, let's welcome everybody out today to a brand new episode of the Let's Talk Local podcast. I'm your host. My name is Chris Hollifield. I want to thank you so much for coming back to the podcast week after week. You know, after doing this podcast after a few years, it's nice to know those of you that have stuck around and continue to listen to the podcast. We're doing, I'm doing something a little different this week. I'm going to try to start doing something a little different on a lot of episodes. That's kind of one thing as I rebranded the name of the podcast, I'm like, I want to try some new ideas out. So we're actually streaming this live on Twitter Spaces right now. So if you're listening on Twitter Spaces, thank you so much. I'm hoping, from what I understand Twitter Spaces is, and I might be completely wrong here, but I'm hoping people can join us live and ask questions. And if this doesn't work out, I'll just try other services out. I know there's some other apps, Clubhouse and whatnot, that I'll try out. So make sure to follow along. I'll talk about those in the Facebook groups and all of that. But otherwise, we got to mention our show sponsor before we get into the podcast interview here with John. My show sponsor, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. That's actually my real estate team that I'm on. And so if you're looking to move to Utah, or maybe looking to downsize, maybe all of your kids have left the nest, they went to college, and you're like, I don't need all this space, so let's get something smaller here. Give me a call or shoot me a text. My number is 801-244-2908. I'd love to answer any of your real estate-related questions, or you can just head on over to my website, chris.redsign.com. And search for homes in Utah right there. So anyway, John Farmer, oh my gosh, let me do a little introduction here on my guest today. He's actually sitting across from me right now. We're in the podcast studio. I'm always excited to have John on the podcast, even though he has been on the podcast for about, I think this is his seventh time being on the podcast. Yeah. I lost track. I didn't even go back and count.
I've been to every one of your studios.
you have, actually.
Every single one of your studios.
The last time you were on, I did make a note of that, was episode 524, December 5th of 2021.
Yep.
Wow. So not too long ago.
Wow.
And before that, it was like 6 years before you were on the podcast.
I know. So. I was getting kind of jealous of everybody. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah. So it's good to have you back through here. I'm glad this worked out. It seemed like, to have you back through on, you know, as the name change with Let's Talk Local and all of that.
Yeah.
It seemed only right to,
it's an honor
bringing you back through here.
It's always, you know, It's always an honor to be on your show. I love your show, and I love seeing it grow. I love seeing the ebbs and flows, and you just keep making it happen. That's what I love about you, man, is that you just keep this going. You believe in it, and you're doing it. And that's kind of like with me with Utah Music Radio. You believe in it, and you are killing it. Like I love what you're doing. Always.
Dude, it's impossible to stop.
It absolutely.
And you just talked about Utah Musicians Radio. I'm sure you can relate.
It's impossible to stop. It's part of your DNA, right?
I've tried plenty
Believe
of
me.
Times, trust me.
I hit a point where when it took a real nosedive and I said, that's it, I'm out. I'm done with this. I just can't do it anymore. I'm just going to lay on the couch and I'm not going to do anything. And all of a sudden, 4 hours of me laying there on the couch, like, that's it, I'm done. My brain is already like, okay, how can I bring it back? What can I do? How can I make this, you know, how can I bring it back? from the ashes, and I couldn't get 4 hours without wanting to get back in and rebuilding. So
I'll take breaks, like 6 month breaks. Mm-hmm. Like I think there was probably a 6 month break in between deciding like what do I do with the name change? Do I change the name from I Am Salt Lake?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's
I think there was 6 months off there, and I was getting a little nervous there. That I was like, eh, maybe I'll get too lazy here and never want to do the show. So I better get the show back going. But anyway, let's talk about you, John. I mean, so it's 2021. I mean, I'm sure there's been a ton going on. Last time we talked about Zepstone Media.
Yep.
We talked about your radio.
Yep.
We talked about Bonfire Honey.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about.
Oh, Bonfire Honey.
What's going on with the Bonfire Honey now? I'm curious at that, because when I listened back to that episode, I was like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That stuff sounded.
So, it's still the gourmet chocolates are pretty well limited to Delta, Utah.
Okay.
And that's by special order. And you have to talk to my cousins who are the owners, and they'll decide whether or not they want to do it.
Yeah.
But I can still whip up a batch of Bonfire Honey. I was trying to get some funding, everything, you know, but like any entrepreneur with an amazing idea and massive ADHD, you go for the gusto and you're like, oh, I can make this and this and this and this and this and this. And before you know it, you've inundated and saturated yourself with so many products that you can't keep up with it. And to try to explain it to an investor or something, you're like, oh, here is a gajillion things. And like, that sounds completely unorganized. And so I would still love to do something with it, but it's pretty much by special order. If people know me, so that's where that's at.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I gotta give John a hard time because I'm sure he even forgot about that. He even talked about that on the podcast because I know I did.
And my wife she invested a good chunk of change to make this happen, but the logistics of shipping it from Dell to Utah. The chocolates melted just to get them up here to Salt Lake. So we had to limit our order, during the cooler months. And then they're so fresh, you can't just let them sit on the shelf for too long because then they go bad. So,
And where do you find an Oompa Loompa, right? Like you can't to live in your basement to make chocolate for you, right?
Exactly. it's still... it's funny because actually over the summertime I made Bonfire barbecue sauce. I bought a smoker, so I started creating my own barbecue sauce. I learned how to make it fresh.
Okay.
And so I just added all the ingredients that made Bonfire Honey, including some honey. And everybody's like, holy shit, you need to make this again. So now it's like I've got a high demand for the barbecue sauce. So it's a winning ingredient. It's a winning recipe. It's just a matter of funding and getting the people on board to make it follow through and sit back and make the residuals.
No, no, I hear. I mean, it seemed like such a great idea.
And it still
could be.
It still is. I mean, I still have people that have arthritis and they swear by it. I've got, even me with my knee and everything, when I take it, all the inflammation in my joints go down and it's stuff you just get right out of your cabinet. So, it still is a fantastic idea. And everybody, we had a party at our house, probably about 50, 60 people over there. And I was running the grill and I was just basting everything with the barbecue sauce. And everyone's like, whoa. And I mean,
you were just putting the Bonfire Honey
on the meat. And people just coming back like, what is this? Where do you get this? I'm like, I made it.
All right. I'm not missing the next party.
Telling you, hey, just come over. I'll barbecue you something any day. No worries. But, everybody loved it. So, if I, any investors out there interested in making a good chunk of money, this is a winner. I'd like to try to take it to a contest and just a barbecue contest just to see what people say about it. I'm an amateur, so I mean, you gotta learn somewhere.
There you go. Maybe instead of a chocolate, do like a barbecue sauce, bottle it up.
Yeah. I mean, I still do the honey. So you have the jars of honey, you know, again on request, or, you know, I can make the barbecue sauce and, you know, about 2 hours and then give you a big old couple of gallons worth. So
it's
worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Let's talk about, I mean, we got a lot to talk about, so let's jump right into Utah Musicians Radio.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, this is where you and I started, man.
Yeah.
I still remember the first time and I probably shared this story a million times, when I came over where you were recording, you know, one of your places you were recording.
It was
actually your parents' house, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. And it was in the den where the cat's den.
And I was just like, dude, this guy's awesome. I'm like, he's doing exactly what I want to do. You know, you're streaming it online. You're streaming it over the internet.
Yep.
You're getting content out there. And that was probably 11, 12 years ago now, because it had to be, because I've been doing the podcast over 11 years.
So I started it in 2009.
Okay.
So when did you...
Well, I started the podcast in 2012, so it probably wasn't until about 2012
I was going to say, it was probably about 11, 12. So okay. 13, 12 years at least.
And, 11, you know, we've gone through our moment. I mean, I recorded out of, your studios a few times. You've had a couple different spots that I've recorded out of.
I think you've recorded out of two of the studios.
Two of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful for that. And then I went a different direction with my studio, and then, you know, life kind of took us in different directions.
Yep.
And I think we actually didn't even see each other for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And then, well, anyway, so the point I'm trying to make, without boring everybody, is you're like a brother to me, man.
Same.
And that's not even just like, oh, what's up, brother? Like legitimate, like you're one in my podcasting world, you're one of my longest friends.
I appreciate that, man.
And I appreciate you, like. And so I'm honored to have you back in the studio. I'm honored to have you back on the podcast. Anytime I can get you through here is good. So Utah Musicians Radio, this is the home. This is John's roots.
Yeah.
I love the fact you're still doing it. Talk about it. What's going on, man?
Well, we're still we're working on the website. I keep saying that we're working on it. We get really close, and then we get a new update on our server, and then it like totally screws the players up, and then it doesn't play the people's names, or it mixes them up. So we're still working on that snafu. But you know, Utah Music Radio is where it all began with me. You know, started at my house and then worked all the way up to a venue and then right on back to my house, went from Utah to American Musicians Radio to Global Music Radio, and then downsized it and brought it back to my roots. So it's all about Utah. Just like I Am Salt Lake, just like Let's Talk Local.
Dude, it'll
like
always all be that. I Am Salt Lake. That's the thing. This show will always be I Am Salt Lake.
Yeah, and that's your DNA. That's your core. And but you're all about supporting local. And that was the one thing that I loved watching you grow. So when going back to Utah Music Radio, it's all about supporting local, independent, and original music. I only emphasize original music because we've already heard the original from somebody else. And unless you know, like for me, 311 doing Love Song, when they did Love Song, they took that song. They owned it. That became their song. I think The Cure did the Love Song originally. And
I never heard the 311. I'm not a big 311 fan, so that's probably why I haven't heard it. But I love The Cure, so I'd love to hear.
And I'm just the opposite. I have absolutely no desire about
The
Cure
at all.
Yeah, it became such a joke when on our film set that we had crew members wearing Cure shirts just to get under
a joke because you don't like The Cure.
I cannot stand
it. Really?
Cure. Yeah, I can't stand.
Really?
It. No.
Boys Don't Cry. That's such a good song.
None of it.
Gosh. Friday, I'm in Love. Come on.
No, especially I just can't. I just can't. And I know I've just alienated and angered millions of people out there, and I apologize.
Dude, how did you? I had Robert Smith waiting for you out there. He was. I
can't wait to tell him how bad his music is.
I'm just kidding. With
you. Hi, Rob.
No, hey. Anyways. So
we want to just stick with original music, and. Right now, the radio station has 17 different genres. So you can actually listen to everything from classical, blues, acoustic, to jazz, pop, metal, rock, reggae, world music, psychedelic music, country, bluegrass, blues. Like, I think I just listed every single channel on there,
but sure.
So you can actually go in and pick a genre and listen to what's coming right out of Utah.
Go on there and just stream it, just like if you were listening to anything else, Spotify or whatever. Right?
Yep, and it's free.
That's what I'm trying to. You know when I think I try to use the term Spotify because I figure most people know what that is.
Yeah, and I don't even have the Spotify app, so I have people sending me like Spotify links, and I'm like, I can't play it.
Because okay.
I don't believe in Spotify.
I don't believe in Spotify.
Because they don't pay artists, and that's why.
True.
Okay. You know, back to me, it's like, yeah, I'm playing the music for free, but they're not getting paid for play either, which sucks on my end. But at the same time, it's coming out of my pocket just to keep it going to play their music. So I'm still throwing a lot of my own money out there to make sure that I'm playing these guys. And so eventually, if I can get sponsorship and all that, absolutely, I'd be paying these bands for every play they get. And it wouldn't be 1/1000th of a penny where they're getting $13 for a 500,000 views.
That's actually a good idea. I've actually never, you know, through all the years, I know you know how that we've known each other, I've never thought of you being able to do that. But how nice would that be to be able to pay back these bands?
Yeah.
Like that's, if you could send them little checks or something every month,
so
or
it's,
every, you know, every 6 months. Or
yeah.
Something.
And so it's really cool with Alicia and I putting Zepstone Media and bringing the two worlds together between film and music. I've been able to get bands into film now. So now they're being not only paid
like their music or
their
them,
music.
Them actually as individuals.
No, their music inside films now. And that was really one of the main goals that I wanted was to make sure that we can give these musicians a different avenue to be heard, that they can be in film, that they could be in commercials, that all the things where music, where they're paying, you know, these film companies are paying an absorbent amount of money. You can go directly to the artist and work out a price and work out a contract directly with the artist and get them into the film. And then everybody's happy because then it's not like they're paying $50 million for a 30-second clip of U2. You know,
yeah.
It's like they can just turn around and be like, oh, I can go straight over here to Mr. Smith and bam. Talk to him and he's like, yeah, I'd love to be in your film. And everybody's just as eager to work with each other. I mean, musicians, of course, are going to be like, hell yeah, I want to be in a film. I want my music in a film. And that's, I haven't had any negative experience with any musicians yet.
Is it tough for a musician to get their music in a film? Like in general, like not your films, obviously, but like, let's say just in general, like let's say there was a local Utah Salt Lake City band.
I've got filmmakers hitting me up all the time asking for music. And so...
So they're looking for it.
They're looking for it. And, you know, I've got the reputation in town where everybody's like, they can come to me. And so when filmmakers come to me, they're like, well, I'm looking for, you know, I need some music. And I'm like, okay, well, what kind of music are you looking for? I'm looking for a love song. Okay. Do you want it in country? Do you want it in pop? Do you want it in rock? Do you want it a ballad? Do you want it a power ballad? What do you want? And so then like, okay, I want that. I'm like, okay. And then I can give them a basic rundown of, you know, a bunch of bands that they can then go listen to. And then they'll pick the song and then hit me up and then I'll send them directly to the artist to use their song.
Is that tough? Okay. So This is interesting. I've actually never thought about this, but I'm going to run with this here just for a minute, John. Yeah. When you're selecting music, and granted, I'm sure every director's different, producer's different, mm-hmm. you know, every movie's different, film, whatever. But does it, could it take you months to find the perfect song?
Sometimes.
Or do you just usually be like, eh, that works?
For our personal films, no, we really
try to put a little,
no, there's scrutiny involved for sure. And, okay. and that's the same thing with most directors, I would assume. I couldn't imagine a director's like, nah, that'll work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so they'll
listen to the first two bars.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, they're, you know, they definitely get the feel. And that's why, I mean, I at least try to get down to a specific, like, you know, three layers before I'm like, okay, these are some bands that I could think of. And then I'll throw them maybe something that's completely off and be like, you know, this is kind of a general idea.
Yeah.
You know, this is outside of the box. This isn't really what you're looking for, but maybe if you look at the scene and play it, this might be something. But you know, again, for the most part, I just whittle it down enough that I can give them, you know, about 10 bands or something to listen to.
Gotcha.
And it, even in that field, yeah, it's tough because this has to be what we consider radio ready music. So it has to be top quality. We can't just throw something that, you know, they threw their microphone
Something maybe that's done in the studio.
It has more heavily. For the most part, they all have to be done in the studio or at least high production that, you know, it could pass. So there's definitely scrutiny involved for it.
Back to Utah Musicians Radio. There was actually a couple questions before we jump right away into Zepstone.
Yeah.
Do you have a new vision for it, or is it just the same vision to just keep producing quality videos or is there something you would like to see different about it than what you were doing before?
I definitely want to clean up the website a bit. You know, the new vision really is just kind of honing in on the top bands, you know, or not the top bands, but the top sound. Still, people will be able to send in any song that they want quality-wise because I'll give everybody the opportunity to be heard. How often they'll get heard, obviously, will be on the quality, not to, you know, but I mean, that's kind of where I've evolved from is making sure that it's more tight-knit music for people to listen to. But yeah, I mean, new look. I definitely want to be able to make sure that we've got you know, the tie-in with film and different commercial work. So that's definitely a step up from where we were at. So yeah, those kind of things that I'm really just trying to upgrade.
Gotcha. And so we'll mention it, of course, at the end, but people can probably just even email you over.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays you don't even have to mail it in, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'll get into it as well, but with Zepstone and our film festival and everything, but those bands also can submit. One of the other things that I'm really promoting on the website and the radio station is that bands submit their music videos to our film festival. The winners get the opportunity to play at our annual art festival, to be on stage. And I'm working on trying to get an A-list band or something like that to be able for these bands to open up for, which of course brings more people to the festival to see the shows, as if you can get a well-known artist that our bands or bands around the world can come and actually play in front of this.
And this is your film festivals that you do?
Yeah.
Talk about that. So let's jump a little bit into Zepstone Media, I guess. So you do yearly film festivals, or you've been doing yearly film festivals?
So we just, this was our very first one, June of this year, was our very first art festival.
Okay.
It's Zepstone Festival, Zepstone Art Festival.
Love the name, by the way.
Thank you.
Led Zeppelin is what I think of.
I know. It's a part of Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stone, Zepstone.
Yeah.
It's funny. No, Alicia actually came up with that name, so she's the genius behind that. But Yeah. So, we have an international film festival, a film award festival. And so, every season, we do film, music videos, short films, comedies, horrors, all of that, you name it. We even actually give awards to, people for that nobody thinks about, lighting and sound and audio and production and all that, giving the crew the opportunity to win an award as well.
So you're giving your crew members the awards, not other filmmakers.
Oh no, other filmmakers submit their movie.
Okay.
And when they submit their film, they can I know I went off a little.
Probably described it okay.
But so other film filmmakers submit their film to our film festival. And then they can pick, okay, well, we're going to pay for, best movie, best story writing, best score. And then if they want to really get into it because they had like a favorite PA or they had their assistant director went above and beyond or whatever, they can submit and then they could win an award.
Gotcha.
Which you don't really see a lot of those in film festival,
sure.
So anyway, we want to give credit to where hard work is, where credit's due. And so, love doing that. And so we do that every season. And then when June comes along, we have a big festival. This one's going to be a little bit different. We're actually now incorporating a fashion show. And the fashion show is for hair and makeup artists in film, for costume designers for film, for special effects in film. So we want to incorporate that and then have a fashion show to showcase everybody's talent.
And you're doing another one. Are you going to do it in June again?
Yeah, that will be in June. We've got some big news coming up on that. I don't want to say anything yet. But
oh, man.
I know. But this is actually...
Let's break it now. Breaking.
I wish we could. I really.
You'll be
wish
sleeping
I
on
could.
The couch if you say anything about it now, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's really, really some big news for the festival.
Okay.
I can't wait to bring it up.
And when are you announcing this?
Don't know yet. We're in talks right now. It's pretty neat. We're really excited.
Where do you normally do the festival at then?
Well, because so many festivals have been in Utah County and Northern Utah and all that, but there's never any big award shows showcasing Utah except for like City Weekly. Other than that, what kind of film festivals do you hear about other than Sundance or
nothing.
Any kind of festival at all other than Utah? You know, I call it the Intermountain West Art Festival. It's not Utah Art Festival anymore.
The 48-hour film festival?
Yeah, the 48-hour film festival. That's with Brian Higgins.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Yep.
Yeah.
But we want to do something that's bigger. So last year or this year, we had an art gallery. So we had people going to an art gallery, and that's where we opened the festival. And then we went to the clubhouse, and then we had bands playing, and we had little shops for people to sell their goods. So we were helping local business that were there. And so we had the music. Oh, we had like the garage, music garage.
Steve Arbeck. Steve Arbeck.
So we got those kids opening up. Yeah. So we had those kids opening up our festival that day. And so they opened up, and then we had Ginger and the Gents ending it out. We had Isaac. Oh my God. I got to look him up.
Those kids have so much talent.
Oh, those kids are amazing. Absolutely. And we had William Kidd playing too. And so these were all winners in their music festival. So they would submitted their, but of course we're going to, kids. But I mean, the other bands, submitted their videos. They won. And so they got to open up and play. And then Ginger and the Gents was the headliner. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So this coming year, we want to get an A-lister, so bands like that win will be able to open up for the headliner. So.
Dude, I'll tell you, film and music They go together,
right? Well, they have to.
Like, yeah. you really okay? So you were. This is why the story is so awesome to me, because when I met you and when I was, you were just doing stuff with music. Yeah. Then you started doing stuff with film, and I was like, what a perfect match,
right?
What a perfect mix,
right? Yeah,
because they can feed off each other.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, take any iconic film out there. Let's just I love using this analogy, but think of the end of Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
when he's sitting there and he looks up and the little feather goes floating off up into the sky, right? And we're watching it, and the music comes over, and it's like, duh, 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 it's this dramatic, and you're just like, oh my God, and you just start crying, right? Change that song to like circus music, like taking you out of the moment with that feather floating away. It's like, it just takes you completely out of that moment with Forrest Gump, right? Music is the most powerful medium out there to convey an emotion. And that's what makes musicians so incredible to me, is that they can evoke that emotion with sound. And we as humans eat that up. So yeah, merging those two to me is just like, you know, bread and butter, man. There's nothing that peanut butter and jelly, for hell's sake. It's everything just really went well with that. So yeah, meeting Alicia and her
was the best thing for you, man.
Oh yeah, she's
great, man. And I don't even know her that well. I mean, I had her on the podcast. Oh, yeah. And then
we were talking about Ride of the
pumpkin
Shaman
patch recently. Went to the pumpkin patch recently. Yeah. So yeah, but she seems great, man. We need to we should all hang out outside of podcasting or filming.
I know. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. But
hold on here. We got a listener. Kevin is listening right now.
Hey Kevin.
Oh, he left. He left the room. I didn't know how it worked. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of cool. It was actually this Kevin Shea. If I pronounce his name right, he was actually been on the podcast. He's a medical doctor, cardiologist I had on.
Oh, nice. Once. See that, you know, for all the people that are listening for the first time or have known, Chris has absolutely had every walks of life through his studio. And I mean that wholeheartedly. In fact, I have to thank you. And this will, I will thank you. People will curse you. Certain people will curse you.
Oh, I'm eager now to hear this one.
I know. But thanks to you interviewing, I forgot his name, the atheist that came in.
I had a lot of atheists here.
He was, I think he was like the head of the group. The
Utah Atheist Group?
Yeah, the Utah Atheist Group. And he brought the shot glasses and he brought the cozies and he brought some stuff. Anyway, I still had it. Okay. I still have some of
those. Oh, did I? Was that back when I was recording in your studios?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to remember who that was, because I don't think I had specifically the Utah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah. And okay. We had shot glasses and all. And I remember you're doing the show, and I remember listening to it. I sat there and I was just like, oh, yeah, okay. And because of that, meeting him and, you know, logic, stuff like that, all of a sudden I'm like, not to get into all the details and everything when it hit me, but yeah, all of a sudden I was like, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm now a non-denominational human.
Because of that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I made you not believe in God because of that?
Not because of you.
Yeah.
But, or him. But yeah, it, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to do my part. No, just
yeah. Kidding. Thanks for setting me free. No. But no, I'm not. Again, that's why I said people will curse you. People, you know, but honestly,
yeah.
No, that was such a, again, the people that, that come through your door to do these shows are the most fascinating people. And, you had the wrestler on, you had,
was that Manny? I think. Yeah.
You had, Will Smith. you know, the radio
guy. Yeah. I was thinking, not Will Smith.
I know. Prince. That was a really big day. Y'all missed it.
Yeah. You guys missed that. My friend's Prince interview.
But all these people have come through your door, the most fascinating people. And it's just,
well, they're fascinating even to me, because I'm just like, how did I even get connected to this? Right. Like even just the other day, the other Friday, the 13th. So it's just this last Friday.
Yeah.
My real estate team, we did the downtown Provo ghost tour with Danny B. Stewart, who I've had on this podcast a few times.
Right.
And it was so fascinating, John, because if I never would have had him on the podcast, I would have never even known about this ghost tour. And it's we have some of the most amazing things going on here in the state of Utah. Back to the music, back to the films. I mean,
here we are.
People aren't, they don't know about this stuff. And it's like, I wish more people listened to my show to be able to come over to Utah Musicians Radio, listen to the local music on there. Because I think that's your only problem, is not enough people know about it. The concept is great.
It blows my mind that somebody that I used to work with way back in the day, he coined the phrase, it's the greatest music you've never heard.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
People just need to get there.
Yeah. And it just takes money.
Yeah.
It just
I know that.
Takes money. And it drives me nuts, because you should have an office with a window and in a studio overlooking downtown for what you put your time and effort into and what you create. You should be up there with X96. And here we are.
That was always the thought and always the goal.
That's always been the goal. And it drives me nuts that it just takes a little bit of extra cash and a little couple of people to believe in you. But I mean, and here you are. Again, it comes back to, here you are. You're still going. And it's in your DNA. So people need to start believing in you again and now and in the future. They absolutely have to believe in you.
Is it
because you are still going, and that in itself should be an investor's wet dream.
Well, because
I'm sorry,
people that I know people firsthand. I'm not going to say names, but I know people firsthand that I've talked to that only got into radio because it was just a job, and they really don't even care. They're just there. And so they might be, you know, wherever with the big guys, you know, I don't even know the only one I know is Broadway Media, but, just cause they're right downtown and anyway, but, it's sad to me. And then there's people like you and I that it's like,
eat this up, live and thrive for it.
We would almost pay somebody to be able to be a DJ on the radio.
Yeah.
And then
we are, aren't we? We are paying.
Well, I guess we kind of are, right?
Yeah, like we're paying our way through college right now.
Yeah. But it's sad, because there's nothing worse than listening to a horrible DJ on the radio. Because every so often, you know, that radio comes on and I'm like, oh, listen to this for a second. I'm like, what is this garbage?
So here we are listening to Another Day.
Yeah. And you're like, you don't want to be here. But so Zepstone Media, let's talk about the films. So since the last time you've been on,
we celebrated
2021. What besides the film fest, you had some other films come out?
Yeah, we
what?
Had Ride of the Shaman come out last year. It's our 1 year anniversary to the release of Ride of the Shaman international distribution.
Okay. I think you were talking about that on the last time.
Yeah, we had just released it into theaters last year.
Yeah.
And boy, that was, talk about a graduate degree in business.
Tell me what do you mean by that?
Oh, I mean the things that we learned in such a rapid fire setup was just
obstacles, stuff like that, or what?
Obstacles, but the learning curve on all the things that you had to do to get the film into theaters, just the little things like, okay, this, uh, uh, this, film needs to be converted into this particular format or else it won't work on any projectors out there. Mm-hmm. And we're like, can you just put it on a thumb drive? And they're like, nope, it has to be a specific format. It has to be on this particular card and it has to go on this particular machine. And
it has to be on a Betamax, right?
Yeah. It's a big laser disc. They're still using those. But yeah. And so, then you had to pay, for each one of those to get into each one of the theaters. And luckily there was a law passed because you literally had to pay to have each chip, sent out, and you had to pay something like $500 per theater that chip was going out to.
You as a director had to send that out.
I mean, we had a lot of, investors step up and help us, but, it was literally, but luckily that was new, but they passed a law where it was like a one-time fee and then they ship them out. But, it was a nightmare. The things that you had to learn about that, then about the posters and getting those printed. And I mean, it was, and then the process to get the posters into the theaters and who you had to talk to. And then we had to come up with timing and when we were going to release the film. And that was a whole process.
Is there like a strategy to that? Like releasing a film?
Absolutely.
Like a certain day or something?
Absolutely. There is a strategy behind it because you follow the big guns and wherever they fire is when you kind of go along with it.
What do you mean? Tell me more. So big movies?
Yeah, so big movies will decide, all right, we're going to release it on June 14th or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was just so, the timing, it was so funny. And, you know, again, we never in our entire lives were we ever going to expect what had come. But when Top Gun came out, that was the movie of the century. Basically, the entire world came out from the shadows and from the woodwork and the caves and under rocks.
Oh, you mean the new Top Gun?
The new Top Gun. And people were coming out under from rocks and caves and tree dwellings just to go see this movie. And it happened to be on Memorial Day weekend. And our distributor was like, okay, we've got Jurassic Park. We've got blah, 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 going down the list of films that were coming out. And we're like, and we're still coming out of COVID. People are just kind of like breathing the fresh air again and all that. And so we're like, well, you know, Top Gun, because, you know, our films, you know, are the people that are going to go see Jurassic Park are going to be the kind of the same people that are going to go see our film. And we don't really want to try to compete up against Jurassic Park. So we're like, well, Top Gun, yeah, that's going to be a great film. And people are just starting to come out. But, you know, our group of people aren't going to be the same people to go watch Top Gun. So we should be okay. So what did we decide to do as rookies? We're gonna release our film the same weekend as Top Gun. And for all you future.
But I think there's people
don't go against Tom Cruise. That's all
I can say. Which I actually have never even still never seen the new Top Gun.
Oh, it was.
Was it good? Nothing like the old Top Gun.
No, right? No, it was good if you take physics.
You just
got to
beef against it because they were.
No,
the same weekend.
It's no. Whole world has seen Top Gun now. So, do you know what? I'm just gonna throw one.
Yeah.
I'll throw one
spoilers.
Scene.
It's been out long enough.
I'll throw out one scene for you. They had an experimental plane. And it was, the whole world has seen this now. So if you don't want to hear about the opening scene with Top Gun and all that, just fast forward about 3-4 minutes. Anyway. So, they had an experimental plane, and do you know what the fastest plane can fly right now? The absolute top secret, fastest plane, probably secret, can probably get up to maybe Mach 6, Mach 7.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't even want to try
at the absolute best, the fastest plane on Earth can maybe get to Mach 5, Mach 6, you know, and that's public, maybe Mach 7 privately. In this film, they said Mach 10, which is like 10,000 miles an hour. And he ejected at that speed.
Wow.
And it was like, and he landed in a small rural town.
Of course.
And he's like, sorry, can I use your phone? And that's when I was like, oh, you've lost me. Like, so you're taking physics, you're taking all of the semi-intelligence out of this film. And that's when I was like, nope, I'm out. And I was kind of disappointed. It was a great film. It was still amazing. And Tom Cruise is fantastic and fine and dandy, great. But yeah, I mean, the realistic end of it, I was like, ugh, come on, give us and this something
is,
real.
It was Tom Cruise, and this is going to sound really bad, but was he in the second, was he in this last one? Okay, I didn't even know.
Yeah, so was Val Kilmer, actually.
Okay,
so.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, this last couple of years of my life, I haven't been watching a lot of movies. I've just been so busy.
Yeah.
With so much other stuff.
Yeah.
Do you watch a lot of movies? Do you find you have plenty of time to, or you probably kind of have to keep up?
Well, I mean, with our film festival, yeah, we're watching films all the time. As far as like big Hollywood budgets, yeah, we still try to, because and even like on Netflix, we watch a lot of the shows there just because I like to keep up with even just camera angles.
Oh, get inspiration.
And it's inspirational to see a lot of these amazing directors and cinematographers. And even one out there, a colorist. You wouldn't think about it, but if you watch
what
it,
now?
A colorist, yeah, somebody that colors the film, that gives it the vibrant colors and all that, or subdues the colors. It's an art form. It's like anything else, but it's a business and it's an art. It's just like music. It is really a business and it is an art, you know? And so it's really a... Yeah. So, you know, I get to watch a lot of films. There's a lot that I still have to get caught up on, but for the most part, the ones I really want to watch, I take.
Yeah. I just didn't know, you know, like when I was heavy into, you know, my podcasting days, I got to listen to, you know, 5 new podcasts a day. And I didn't know if like, that was like your type of thing where you were like, I got to watch X amount of movies every week. And you have like a stack of videos every
Friday night,
you know?
Yeah, and the other one that I really try to keep up on is listening to a lot of new music. In fact, that's one of the things that I'm doing now. I posted this out about a week, a little over a week, 2 weeks ago, where I want to create a video of all of the bands on stage, their music videos, and get their music. One, to get their music on the radio station, but two, I want to create a promotional video of all of the local music out there and edit some clips together as promos showing what Utah has to offer. And so I'm working on that as well. So again, tying video and music together to help create a promotional video to get out there, to show the world what Utah has to offer. I've never seen anybody else do that. I've never seen any, I mean, I've seen certain, you know, but I mean, strictly local music promoting I have like 100 bands that, and I'm going to be talking about it. I'm going to be presenting, I'm going to be playing different genres and I'm going to show their videos, just clips, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, that's, because that is going to tie Zepstone. That's going to tie Utah Music Radio. That's going to, it's going to be a promotional that's going to show the diversity of these bands, but it's also going to be for filmmakers to look at and listen to the diversity and be like, oh, I got to take this a little more seriously. Oh, I really need to tune into this station. And if there's a band I like, I can contact these guys. So, you know, whatever we can pull together to merge the two industries together, I'm all about.
That actually gives me an interesting idea and an interesting thought. You mentioned music videos. Do local Utah bands, are there very many music?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to say, what if you had a whole music video section on Utah Musicians Radio or something like that?
That's what I'd like to do eventually. The thing that I have to do is create a new website where there's a login where bands can go and create their profile and then upload their links to their videos. And I wouldn't put
just
it on...
Just host it all through YouTube, man, or something.
That's what I'd do, is that I would have it to where they just put their YouTube link.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a, you know, people like, yeah. I, you know, I'm not a big video guy, but like music videos are interesting to me because I've always struggled with music videos because to me, that's taking on their interpretation of the song versus my interpretation of the song.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe everybody feels that way. I don't know.
I think the thing, what I like about our film festival is that because these guys are so, you know, the majority of them are all independent, is that they are more creative. They're a little bit more outside of the box. They're putting their spin to it, but then they're also the artists. So they're kind of coming up with their own interpretation themselves through video. So I've seen a lot of music videos that are just completely psychedelic. They just throw you completely off, but you're just going with the music and going with the vision that they're coming up with. So, and they even leave the video up to the viewer to interpret. So, you know, you got the music and the video to kind of extrapolate what you want. You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. Music has become better in so many ways, but yet worse. You know,
I call it push button music.
I miss the days, and I don't know if this is just because I'm getting older, and so I kind of try to find nostalgic things.
Back in my day.
Well, no, but like, remember midnight releases of a CD, yeah. And you would go get the new Pearl Jam, or you'd go get the new whatever.
Yeah.
And just the excitement. At least it was for me. And I don't know, maybe it was just because I was a teenager, I don't know what it was, but going and buying the entire album.
No, honestly, that is a lost art form. Being able to get a hard copy. I like that we're starting to kind of go back to vinyls a little bit, but yeah, I would love to see a midnight release of something. You know, and be like, oh yeah, man, the new Pearl Jam, or, you know, Stone Temple's kind of my gig, you know? So any of those guys, I'm so mad I missed those concerts, by the way, sidetrack, but I was so mad. But yeah, I think that going, and I don't know if it's a COVID thing. I don't know if it's the new generation thing. Trying to get some of these kids just to go outside. Just to go outside and do something, it is like pulling teeth. I'd rather just stay here and just, you know, watch something around. It's like, yeah, or you could see that there's a sun outside. At least get some color.
But do you think that is more the way we've parented as our generation has parented? You know, because I've thought a lot about that, right? Like, and I think about growing up in like the 80s. You know, cause I was born in late 70s. So I mean, 80s was like my growing up. Right.
Right.
And we would just take our bikes and go.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I also think like that was how parents did it back in the day. That was almost like their daycare.
Oh, I mean,
and nowadays I think parents become so scared and like, oh, my kid's going to get kidnapped, or my kid's going to get, something's going to happen.
Yeah. That seems to be kind of,
so maybe more
a societal. Yeah, I think it's been a societal tragedy that media has kind of perpetuated that sort of thing over time. You know, I call it the quarterly earnings. Like, there's always some big story every 3 months, and that's about the time that they're doing their quarterly earnings. And so there's more advertising. So there's got to be a tragedy. Oh, there is a school shooting literally every single day in this country, and it is never, ever.
Every day?
Every day.
Seriously?
Yeah, look it up. It's crazy. Oh my God. There's at least a school shooting every day in America right now. It's the dumbest shit. Like, there might be one, no one got hurt, but a kid brought a gun to school, or a kid fired a gun, but, or, you know, but it's almost to a point that if I remember, when I was looking at it just a few months ago, it's like one person getting shot every single day, you know, at a school or in school grounds or something like that. It's asinine. It's something insane like that. But yet you don't hear anything about it. But then all of a sudden, boom, there's like a voting coming up or something. Boom, all of a sudden, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to sound like, you know, any of that, but
I miss hanging out with you, John.
I know, I go in deep dives.
No, I love it.
But, you know, I mean, it's frustrating because yes, it's been pumped into our brains that, oh, we've got to be fearful because the boogeyman's going to take your kids away. And so it's like, I fight for my kids just to get the hell outside, just to go out and do something because I'm sitting there like, hey, you gotta see the sun. You gotta go out there and live life. But again, then you have COVID that proved that you don't have to go outside, that you can earn a living from home, sitting on your computer and answering phones or writing programs or whatever. Or delivering food. You'll sit there, you get a text, you go, you pick it up, you go run it to the person that won't leave the house. And then you're in your car, you're over there, you drive it back home, you wait for the next call. And that's kind of the society that we're,
this was the
utopia that, everybody wanted the world to be. And now it's like, is this really what I want to be? Everyone just sitting at home, you know?
It is kind of,
it's not dystopian. I'm not trying to make it sound bad, but I'm saying this was the vision of 20, 30 years ago. Everyone's like, you can work from home and everything's going to be digital and you can have your food delivered to you and you don't have to do a thing. And everyone's watching the TV. It's like Logan's Run almost, you know, or they're just like, she's like,
well, but that's backfiring now. Look at how people are even like, oh, we got to start returning to the office now. We got to start working. You know, can't work from home anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Where things are going. But anyways, before we get sidetracked too much here,
I am horrible at that.
But you know what? That's one thing I love about podcasts with you, John, is all the sidetracks and stuff like that. It reminds me of like even some of Joe Rogan's episodes where he just kind of goes on different tangents. But Zepstone Media, are you working on any films right now? Is there anything coming out that you want to talk about, make sure we talk about on this?
Yes, absolutely. So we have our crowdfunding that ends tomorrow, basically.
Okay. So if you're listening live.
I know, if you're listening live.
Yeah.
Donate, go to Indiegogo, and in the search bar, just type in Witch of Wander Lane. We postponed our filming till spring. This is our biggest endeavor. We've incorporated 70 people to help put this film together. We're doing it right and we're paying them their fair share. And so we need people to believe in this project because we're Utahns filming in Utah for a major production.
So this crowdfunding would help pay for the film to get made, basically.
Yep. It helps with post-production, it helps with pre-production, it helps with all of our hair and makeup, yeah. Our costumes. This is a period piece, so this is our biggest endeavor yet, and we believe in the people that are on our team right now, and they deserve to get paid, and people love to be entertained, and this isn't something that is for us.
Yeah.
You know, again, artists don't write music just for themselves and they get to sit in a corner and be like, gosh, I'm so good. They do it to share with the world, you know, and that's what we want to do. And people that help fund this, they're helping entertain a lot of people, including themselves. They're helping employ a lot of people that are hardworking individuals that frankly deserve to get paid, you know, for what they do. It's not an easy job. You know, it's not, it's a job. And if we could pay for it ourselves, we would, but right now we need the help for it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I've always been curious how like somebody like yourself, an independent movie, you know, director, it's like you guys, you know, you don't have a ton of, you know, you need to be able to pay it all yourself. I mean, that's not even fair to you either. Well,
no, I mean, we yeah,
that's not probably the best wording to use, but but this, I mean, is there ever a time when you maybe don't get funded?
Yeah, I mean, we're struggling through that right at the moment. So we're postponing it. We have some new ideas and some more perks that we're going to be lining up, and we're going to start again. Yeah, when it again, it's just like our radio and podcast. It's going to get made.
Sure,
we believe in this, and we believe in the people that are making this happen, and we're not going to stop. We are going to make this happen. It's right now. Yeah, we're going to have to take a moment. We're going to have to step back. We're going to have to reorganize, and then we're going to step back up. We're going to go ahead and redo a new campaign, and we're just going to keep going until we get it.
Even that though, John, if you think about it, I mean, my first thought, and this is where I think when I bring people through, I mean, you talk about all the obscure people I brought through the podcast, I always think about the aspects of their job that it's like, how did they learn how to do that? Even down to how much money you need to raise. Like you had to sit there and learn like, well, how much is this going to cost? And how much is this person going to cost me? And I'm sure there's times where you come up short. Sure there's times where you're like, I got to pull that money out of my pocket.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how we funded pretty much every film. Ride of the Shaman, we had some amazing individuals that believed in us and stepped up, and we're still paying them back.
Yeah.
And it's over a year now, you know? So every time we get a residual check, we give them a percentage. And we do what we can, you know. We always try to stay as transparent as possible. And everybody that's believed in us and has followed us or been part of our projects, we're always open, honest, and upfront with them, letting them know exactly where we're at. And sometimes it's not so pleasant. We're not really thrilled with some outcomes, but we still have to, like, here's where we're at. This is, you know. Can't hide it from them, you know, we wouldn't want to. So it's just, I just got to keep it rolling. So yeah, so, you know, right now we're with the funding, we're going as fast as we can, and we're going to make it happen. So that, and Witch of Wonderland honestly is a film that, is truly, unique and, it's already out as the pitch, but it's literally if Prohibition was never lifted.
Mm.
And
could you imagine?
I know, right? In Utah? No, but if Prohibition was never lifted and all the bootlegging was run by witches, and they're all delivered through underground tunnels because there's creatures above land that are trying to hurt the people and stuff. And you get to find out who the creatures are. You get to see all these really killer underground tunnels that we get to build. And, but it's a period piece. And, the witches' husbands are the governors of the territory. So they kind of keep the blind eye. They're like, yes, absolutely. No booze. While in the back end, they're making all the money from the booze. Cause their wives are
running the
gamut. So,
have you ever thought about using like something like Patreon or something like that to like, do you use that currently?
We have Indiegogo now and,
Patreon. Just like continual support, I guess Indiegogo, you can do continued supporting through that.
No, I don't think so, but I like the Patreon idea and that might be something that we're going to look into. So,
well, just cause I'm thinking in my head, like just ways to have that continual, like through Patreon, you can be a continual $10 a month supporter.
Yeah.
Continual $20. And in return, maybe they get.
Yeah. We've got something. Newsletters. Yeah.
I don't know.
We've got newsletters on our website. And so, yeah, I mean, we can definitely look at, some of the things, That's actually a pretty good idea. That's what I'm doing with Utah Music Radio right now, is I've got a Patreon account. So, yeah, if you go to Patreon, just do Utah Music Radio and be the first to help sponsor.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, again, I've got three tiers there, but any, I've got it set to that if you become, you know, a full-time member, whatnot, that any local bands that are playing, you get into, you know, once I get, I've got to work the deals out with the venues and all that, but yeah, as a member, you can get into a free show and stuff like that. You don't have to pay cover charges and things like that. So that's some of the stuff that I'm working on.
So what else for Zepstone Media before we completely, you know, I don't want to stop the recorder and not hit all the points that we've chatted with. So you got you're working on funding this film. You got the film festival. You're going to do another one in June, which let's definitely bring you back through before that. And like maybe in like May-ish or something to promote that, even to get people into seats there. And then Utah Music. What else we got going on, John? Any other films you're working on? Where can people go to films or support you?
I mean, yeah. So if you're a filmmaker and you've got a film that you want to submit to be judged, go to Film Freeway, Zepstone Film Awards.
Okay.
We're the only Zepstone in the world, so by all means, you won't have a hard time finding us on Film Freeway.
Which is awesome, by the way, because you would think that that name would be everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Zepstone actually is Egyptian. It's Zep is first and stone, so it's the first stone for pyramid. So that's where she came up with that name. But I love that name. But you can find us there on Film Freeway. If you want to listen to any of the local music here in Utah, just go to utahmusicradio.com. If you got music videos, just send them to Film Freeway. If you've got music, just send it to utahmusicradio@gmail.com. And just put your name, make sure it's an MP4 or MP3, excuse me, MP3. You've got all your metadata filled out so our system can read it. And we'll go from there, man. We'll get your music on a radio station. We'll get your music video on into our festival for us to judge. All that stuff. I mean, we're all about that. Zepstone, we accept pretty much all films except for porn. Porn and poorly
made. I'll accept that. I'll take that for John. You know,
all right,
you gotta say that over my way.
Yeah, but honestly, you know, just we take feature length films, short films, comedy, horror, inspirational, whatever you want to send us. AI films. In fact, my cousin started the Artificial Intelligent Film Festival. It was up in Park City.
Yeah,
this last year he did the AI Film Fest. Check that out. If you've got an AI film, go there. You can find that on Film Freeway. We're all about supporting all independent filmmakers, all independent music makers. So, artists, it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of our film festival, or as our art festival, is that we want to support all forms.
Sure.
You know, be it photography, be it paintings, be it fashion and film and music. We want to make sure that everybody's represented.
And then, you know, I got to ask, I have a few Utah related questions. I ask you every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to kind of be tweaked a little bit different this time as the show is kind of changed up a little bit and thing. Do I leave these questions in? Do I take them out? I didn't ask them, and then people, you know. Anyway, so, first of all, any favorite local eating spots that you've been enjoying recently? I know I ask every time, and so I didn't know if there was any that, you know, as we move and as we relocate, you know, maybe there's some neighborhood ones that you've been enjoying lately. I don't know.
Boy.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
La Puente has actually been...
one you've been enjoying?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mexican food has been...
Okay.
Yeah. India Palace is another good one in South Jordan. That's a good one. Bombay House in West Jordan is actually one of my faves.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else in Utah? Like, you know, I would say, you know, family and friends visiting, but it's like, okay, that's I asked that question, but like just in general, like, right, all the growth in Utah, all the, mm-hmm. all the things going on, like, is there anything you're excited about? Like me personally, John, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'm really excited. At least last I heard that there's still a possibility that we could get a Major League Baseball team here in Utah.
Oh yeah.
Like the thought.
Yeah. Wasn't that supposed to be a daybreak or something like that?
Yeah. And so like, to me, that is just awesome.
That would be very cool.
And I didn't know if there's anything like that you're excited about with all the growth and the changes in Utah or any new businesses that have popped up that besides eating.
Boy. Yeah. Always being put on the spot. And then I got to think.
Well, this is a tougher question. And,
yeah.
And I just kind of thought of it.
You know, I'm... See, so we moved to South Jordan last year. So we're just getting acclimated. We're literally just right across from Daybreak, and there's so many things that are going on.
Isn't Daybreak awesome?
I had the opportunity of open when the recession hit, and they were just starting Daybreak way back, and it was still just a big dirt patch. And they actually offered us to open a grocery store there because they're like, you know, there's nothing out here.
Grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. So where Harmon's is at was where we were going to have my grocery store.
Okay.
Up in Daybreak. And we turned it down because we're like, what the hell? There's nothing out here. I'll be crushed before anybody moves out here.
Now look at it.
And I'm kicking myself in the ass.
Yeah.
Can't even begin to tell you, but yeah. So, all the stuff out at, Daybreak's really cool. I'd like to try out some of the restaurants. Haven't had a chance. There's a park that's by our house, and throughout summer they have a Friday night outdoor theater.
Okay.
And so I want to actually get involved with that and bring a live band. I want to hook up and get it. If they can put a blow up, I've got friends that have tear down stages that they could put up in 10 minutes and have live music playing out there. I mean, if they can show a film, there's obviously a plug. I'm kind of excited to talk to the city council about that, but just it's really kind of neat, all the stuff out there. So it's kind of a learning curve.
You're kind of new to that area, aren't you? Like West Side area, like
far west.
You're kind of an East Sider.
Born and raised on the East Side, and last couple of years moved out to the West Side.
And I love South Jordan out there.
It's beautiful out where we're at. But we lived in I wouldn't call it gangland. We were still in a semi decent neighborhood, but. We found out literally the day we moved, no joke, the day we moved out of the house was the day we found out the third day when we first moved in, there was a gang shooting, three houses down, two people died.
Wait, in the house you lived in before you so lived we're, in no, now where, or where yeah, you
the
live
house,
now?
The house in West Jordan where we were living just before we moved to South Jordan, we had just... I found out as the day we were moving out.
I thought those were all the good people lived out there.
Man, the neighborhood out there was. We had
sketchies.
We had a cop. We had cops living next to us, and we found out the whole reason why they were living in that house was to survey the house that was a couple homes down on a 24-hour. So apparently, we were in gangland and had no idea about it.
But you're happy to be out of there, I bet.
Yeah, I was happy. I was quite happy. Yeah. Everybody else was like, oh, we really loved it out there. I'm like, yeah, now there's a couple people died the third day we moved in. So now we're good. And I know I heard the gunshots, but we're like, oh, well, you're like, okay, whatever. Come to find out it was like gang violence.
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, I'm glad to be out. But yeah, where we are at now, man, it's amazing. Well, night and day, what a few miles does.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But that whole area has just exploded.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you kind of already mentioned that already.
I had a friend of mine.
But that whole area, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who lives out in Harriman, and he was out in the boonies.
Yeah. When it first came here, you're like, why are you wasting gas to live way out there?
Yeah. And now, literally, I couldn't, like, if I don't see him every 6 months, I don't even know how the hell to get to his house. I don't even recognize the area.
Yeah.
It's just, it's exploded so much in 10 years that I'm like, dude, I don't even know where the hell you live anymore. You're out in the, you're literally in the middle of a brand new subdivision when 5 years ago there was nothing out there but fields and horses. And now it is, as far as the eye can see, homes. It's insane what has happened in 10 years.
Well, and then the prison, the prison's gone there. The prison's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, just here's the thing. And I've actually thought about this, John, is as much as I craved for Salt Lake City and for this area and for the Valley
to
get
grow.
Bigger and get grow, I kind of miss the old,
I miss the old days, man.
I'm like, I don't know if I really want this now. I kind of regret this.
When 5 o'clock rush hour starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. You know. Well, there's rush hour all the time.
It's pretty much there now. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be trying to drive downtown at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
I'm like, get the out of here.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Go down 7th East and you're like, wait a minute. What time is it? Noon.
Yeah.
You know, why am I backed up five blocks? It's crazy.
And it's only going to get worse.
I don't even know how we're going to. I don't know how we're gonna cope with it, man. And the worst part of it, out of all of that, is the inversion.
Don't even get me started. It's horrible.
When we're out doing Beijing, you know, on a consistent basis. Last year was great. In fact, wouldn't you say that this last year was the most normal year to date in maybe 15 years, like considering we had you know, 70 feet of snow, subtract all that, but I'm talking about temperate weather, all the seasons, like spring was spring.
Yeah.
And summer was summer, and it wasn't scorching hot death. It was a nice, you know, it got up to 100, maybe a couple of days, like normal. And now we're in fall, and look at these colors, and we're having a nice fall. It didn't go summer, winter. And, it, you know, last year it was like 7 months of winter.
Oh, yeah.
But the seasons, we've had all the seasons that just seems the most normal that we've ever had since 2022, leading into where we're at now. This seems like the most normal season of a normal year for seasons that we've had in like a decade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the colors up in the mountains are just insane. And we've had all four seasons. And last year we had 7 months of winter and then it was like, okay, here's the rest of the year, you know.
Yeah.
But I just feel like this feels like a normal year finally, as far as seasons go. But I fear, what do you think of Spencer Cox? I'm so glad he did it.
Oh gosh. Put me on the spot now.
No, well, What's your thoughts on Spencer Cox finally trying to protect the Great Salt Lake?
Well, finally.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, my thought is that I'm glad that he's finally deciding
to do
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Republican actually cared about the environment. Wait a minute. Yeah. Hold on a second. Sorry, I'm going to upset more people. But anyway, yeah, no, I was impressed. And I mean, were you in Salt Lake ever when those mudstorms came through?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I've never in my life, as long as I've lived here, had my car turn brown. And it was all because the mud, the wind from the West Desert picked up all that dust and then it rained and it was like just slabs of mud. I have pictures of mud splattering on my car and then just looking like, you know how you see the slow motion of a drop hitting and flipping up and then just stopping because it was so thick. It just was like a little bowl from a drop of rain. Just, it was so thick. It was crazy. So, I'm so grateful. And I don't know if it'll be sustainable if we keep allowing more people moving into this valley, because you're going to need more water.
We'll just stop them. We'll put we're full.
Can you imagine though what prices of homes would be then?
Yeah, it's interesting to see where things are going to go. It's interesting, you know, the next 10 years is going to be interesting. It's just, I mean, it's getting to the point where people are moving away because they can't afford to live here. But it's been a pleasure having you, John.
Hey,
I need to get running here myself. But Utah Musicians Radio is it .net, right?
Utah Musicians. So we have UtahMusicians.net, UtahMusicRadio.com, and then Zepstone Media if you want to see all of our festival things. And we've got some big things coming with Zepstone for our films, production, film awards, video awards, all our movie awards, all the stuff. We've got some big stuff coming.
Always a pleasure to have you in the podcast studio, John.
Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Now I just got to get your wife through here next.
Yep.
Let's get her in a few months. Maybe get her closer to we get her before the festival too, you know?
I'd say December and let her take my place in December. This is the first time I haven't done a show in December.
I guess we're only in October, so we could let's do a December. We'll bring her through in December.
Sounds good.
But I'll wrap up the show right now because I'm just doing from start to finish on the podcast now. So
nice.
Many thanks again to John Farmer for joining me on the podcast. Make sure to connect with John. Send him a message, connect with him on social medias, Facebook,
Instagram. Facebook's the best way to get me.
And send a message. Because when I started this podcast, the whole idea was so we can all be connected, so we can all network and get to know each other.
Absolutely.
Don't be scared. Don't be, you know, I know how it is even for me where we feel like we're bothering people, but reach out to John and say, how can I get involved with Utah Musicians Radio? How can I get involved with some of your films? How can I support you? And I'm sure he would love to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Make sure to support our show sponsor, Red Sign Real Estate Team. Chris.redsign.com is my website. And I'm here every week with a brand new episode. Thanks. Showcasing someone or something, doing something cool here in the state of Utah. Oh, and one last thing is, I think I'm going to try this Twitter Spaces a few more times. So thank you to everybody that jumped in and tried it out. I was hoping that maybe we can get some questions and stuff like that from people, but I'm still trying to learn this app. I think there is ways to do it. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, it's all 100%
how to do it. So make sure to connect and we'll get you on there. So love you guys. See you next week.